in Seminole, and back in the 50s, this state was a segregated state.
Yes.
And so I believe while in high school, you experienced a desegregation of public schools.
They desegregated the high school when I was in school. I think I was a sophomore in high school, and it was a traumatic occasion. Again, I tell my students this. You can't imagine what it was like back then. I went through the desegregation of the high school. I participated in the first desegregated high school debate in Oklahoma. I was in the first desegregated all-state band in Oklahoma, living through that in an interesting way. And I suppose I'd grown up with some of the same feelings. They were just sort of ingrained into you from the culture at the time. That all seemed very natural back then. But I remember someone called me the day they were going to desegregate the schools and said, we're going to boycott the school today, all the white kids. We were going to go demonstrate with placards and so on, don't desegregate our school, and then we were going to go home. Everyone was going to go home. My father overheard me talking on the telephone, and he said, what do you intend to do? I said, well, they're going to all demonstrate against this. He said, oh, no, you're not. If I have to lock you in your room, you're not going to go up there and do that. You'll regret the rest of your life if you ever did anything about that. He said, can you imagine how scared those children are, those other kids that are coming for the first time to the white school from the other side of the railroad tracks? Can you imagine how they feel? You're not going to hurt their feelings, and you're not going to be a part of that. Or you're not going to school. I'll lock you up here. I'll stay here and guard you. So I didn't demonstrate, and I did go to school, and I stayed in school because, for one thing, I was too terrified not to. My father ordered me that, but how far-sighted on his part was that? And then when we participated in the first debate, Mr. Mitchell played a similar role. We learned we had drawn, at that time, I think it was called Muskogee Manual High School, and we were to debate them, and it was at East Central University. The other members of the debate team said, we're not going to do it. So Mr. Mitchell just said, well, if you boys are not going to do it, you're off the debate team, because I never forfeit a debate. So that was it. He just told us right then and there. Then when we got through debating, the custom, of course, is to go across and shake hands with the other debaters. Well, our team decided we weren't going to shake hands, and I'm not sure they were any more enthusiastic about shaking hands either. And the audience was divided on racial lines, the parents sitting out there. The debate ended, and it was time to shake hands, and we were still standing, not going to shake hands. I'll never forget, I looked across, and there was the debater from the other school. He looked so hurt. I'll never forget the look in his eye, and I thought, I have to go shake his hand. So we shook hands, and then everybody shook hands, and then it ended. You remember those things, and of course, later in life, I've had to deal with various incidents on campus and otherwise, and the society we live in. It's such a different time, and now I'm shocked when I see it, you know, and it doesn't take me 1 minute to know right from wrong where that's concerned. You have to call it out, stop it, and have zero tolerance for any of it. So I've seen the whole transition in our state from the very beginnings of the times changing, but it was very rigid. The Little Dixie area, and we were on the edges of it in Seminole County, we were on the edge of Little Dixie, and especially in Little Dixie in Oklahoma, segregation was as rigid as it was in Mississippi back in that period of time.
One of your professors, George Henderson,
yes,
I've interviewed for Voices of Oklahoma,
yes,
talks about going down to Little Dixie, and after his speech was driving and a car was following him,
and
he really thought he was going to give his life up for that. And I know
he did. Of course, he's become such a dear friend to me over time. We've gotten to know each other years ago, working with underprivileged kids when I was a teacher at OBU. We've been friends a long time ever since he came to Oklahoma, but he's told me that story. He was fearful for his life, and of course, they became the first people of color to buy property in Norman, Oklahoma, and break the race barrier of that all-white town at that time. Again, it comes full circle because as I've had to deal with different things at the university, how fortunate I've been to have him as a friend and advisor through it all. It's just enriched my life greatly.